better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. The second birthday of the Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. So it has officially turned two. And man, I'm stoked. It's been so awesome. Like, I had no idea that by us starting the podcast that we would reach as many people as we've reached. And it's just been fun.
How many people are we reaching? Like, roughly, how many people a month are hearing this shit?
25,000 people.
Right on.
Like, that's a lot. That's, to me, it seems like a lot of people.
Dude, it's considering huge.
It's only been quite a short time. And also, there's, like, so many podcasts you can listen to, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, man. And I guess the funny thing about it is, I remember I'd listened to a podcast, and it was talking about just how valuable it is. And this is, you know, more than 2 years ago. And I said to Joe, we're going to start a podcast, man. Joe's like, dude, I already run a podcast. That's a gang of work. What are you thinking? I'm like, no, it'll be great. And he's like, all right, man, well, work that out. You go organize that.
If you want to do a podcast, you figure that shit out.
Come back and see me.
Happy to talk.
I don't want to organize that. So then, yeah, I was like, God damn it. I was going to rely on his experience. And anyway, so it was good, though, because I did a bunch of research and hosting, and there is a bit that goes behind it. But yeah, and then we kind of kicked it off, and Joe wisely had said, we need a cache. We've got to start. We need to record a couple before we start this thing rolling, which is very wise.
So we'd be like ahead on episodes.
Yeah, we'd be ahead like, say, you know, a month or two in case we had to miss one or two. And that has served us very well.
We're currently not ahead.
No, we're not. Maybe by one or two episodes. But and then very fortunate, I want to give a shout out to my sister, Kate. Kate White, who...
Producer.
She's behind the scenes. And so she works hard to cut out the amount of ums that Joey says and the amount of likes that I say. Because...
I personally think that when I deliver those, that they add to the experience, but, you know, whatever.
So it's one of those things. It's like you don't realize what you're doing because other people are listening and we appreciate your listening. But we wanted to celebrate because it's... I guess the super nice thing has been the really positive response to just talking about jiu-jitsu issues and problems.
Yeah, I don't think either of us thought that the podcast would... I never really thought it would reach as many people as it has in such a short space of time.
Mm.
I mean, it's also not... It's not like you think about how many people can we reach, but
no.
When you see the stats, you're like, 25,000, you're like, man, it's a fucking lot. But also, I didn't think that it would have the reaction from the community that it has had,
yeah.
Which is just, you know, you guys... reaching out every day, Instagram, YouTube, in person at competitions and stuff, just saying like, you really like listening to us, which blows me away that you like listening to JT. And
someone's
got to
bring the humor.
Yeah, like it's cool, right? Like I guess it's a real privilege in that way to be able to just riff on shit and it goes some way to helping people. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And we're just enjoying some beverages. I'm having a whiskey. Joe's having a...
Gin and tonic,
just to kick it off.
I mean, neither of us are big drinkers. I would say I'm probably a bigger drinker than you are
typically.
I would
say so, yes.
But we thought, let's get a little bit lubricated and do this episode, and maybe it's going to open up some, you know, whatever.
See where the conversation takes us.
We tried it with the chili last time. This time we're doing it with the booze.
Just removing any inhibitors to the truth so you can know the deepest, darkest secrets.
We may also be microdosed. Who could say?
Who could say? We're going to find out.
But it would be remiss of us to talk about this piece, this journey up. Next round is here. My guy. The blasphemy is for this guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, bro. Oh,
cheers, man.
Oof.
Appropriately named, the blasphemy.
Joey's already double fisting. We're in for a ride, fam.
Hey, JT's
moving quick.
I always move quick. But will I last?
Yeah, we'll see. It was like that last bit of the chicken wing that he didn't eat on the Hot Wings Challenge. And I'm like, bro, you said you were going to eat the whole thing.
I'm going to come back on
JT's
this. No, because I said at the start, you said, well, you're a bigger eater than me, so do we eat the wing tip or not? And I said, meh, I didn't agree to it. And you're like, well, if you like, you can.
No,
I did say I would eat it. And I did eat it.
only after I called you out.
It was there.
I didn't know. You were like 15 minutes done. And then I was like, hey, bruh. And you were like,
hey, shit, I'm pacing myself. I'm pacing myself.
I love how he tries to reshape the past, even though it's on audio and on camera.
Winners shape the narrative. I'm winning.
Trumpian.
Fake news. Joe, is he telling the truth? Yeah. I don't know. Tell the truth. Joe, I don't trust him. You trust Joe? Who can say?
So it would be remiss of us not to mention young Jules, who's come on as a pivotal role in the show.
Definitely.
Jules, when did Jules come on? After the first year?
Julian started actually as part of my small group.
Yep.
I was doing Bulletproof Small Group on a Saturday, and Jules traveled all the way on the train and bus from Blacktown to Botany every Saturday to be part of that.
Yep. Disciple. Then,
yeah, we started
He'll
sitting
do anything
down
and, for stripes.
Is that... So we started talking a bit more and started talking about his YouTube channel, which is really good. And also it was part of the coaching because Jules came to a coaching intensive, I believe.
Jules came through, did our coach's course at Jungle Brothers. So yeah, he was making himself a fixture.
He was.
In the gym and in our space.
And he actually came and filmed some content for some of the coaches, is that right?
Yeah, was that going on pre Bulletproof? Well, I think Bulletproof might have been the catalyst for you to become...
He become the kind of go-to guy.
Jules is smiling and nodding. That's what Jules does.
He does.
He very rarely disagrees.
No.
He's a yes sir, how high sir kind of guy.
Yeah, unless you say, hey, you want a hit of this? He's like, I'm responsible, I'm driving. I'm like, true. Okay.
I politely decline.
Yeah, that's what he does. But there was actually a great moment. Actually, it was Paulie. It was actually Paulie's idea. But I'm going to claim it as my idea. Julian was being around, being helpful. And Paulie said, how good would it be if you had like a guy like Julian around all the time? Like, how good would it be if he was like your intern? And I was like, yes.
You've got the internship, Jules.
And then Jules like, well, what? What? I never signed up for this. So, and then I said to Jules, are you keen? And he just smiled and nodded as he does. I don't think he knew how to say no. His mum never taught him to say no. And then and I said to Joe, yo, can we get Julian involved? Because he's got really good eye and he's a good dude. And here we are.
Yeah. It was super necessary, right? Because we had started the YouTube channel and we had like bought a camera and we were like, JT's inept when it comes to technology, so it would default to me. So, you know, whatever. Like, he doesn't mind having a yarn.
Let's not miss the fact that Joey worked in the film industry recording.
Like, I didn't record. Like, I was a lighting guy.
Dude, whatever. This guy's running sets for major movies. And he's like, JT is inept. It's like, fuck off, bro. It's like, you got professional background in this shit.
I was a glorified laborer.
Like, whatever.
They didn't let me anywhere near a fucking camera.
Whatever.
But in any case, we're trying to piece this shit together ourselves. We're filming the podcast. JT's like, we should do 2 episodes a week. It's like, whoa. I'm like, I don't know how to handle fucking SD that cards much. And files. And but there's a lot to it, right? It's simple stuff, but it's actually...
There's work there.
Yeah, there's work there. And so Jules was that guy that was like, I can take that on. And really without him, we wouldn't have been able to grow it to the point that we have.
No.
Right? To have it on YouTube every week, 3 episodes. Yep. To even be uploading it to YouTube, to have just the quality of the show, as well as your sister.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
It's that combination that's really the team. Oh, and shout out to Angel.
Of course. Angel, our assistant, who very rarely gets acknowledged, gets all the
Never
complaints.
Gets acknowledged.
Or gets all the cancellations, gets all the awkward customers.
She's our customer service person. She's in the Philippines.
She is.
And but she also has a piece in getting the podcast up onto YouTube. And so, yeah, shout out.
Shout out to Angel. Man.
Anyway, so we're here at the distillery. We're getting a little bit blazed. We've had a fuckload of mushrooms. I mean, we've had a microdose. It's no big deal.
No big deal. But if I start seeing things, you're going to know what's up.
So tell me this, bro.
Yes.
What, for you, what's been the most challenging thing about having a podcast with me?
What I'm going to say is it's my podcast and I like having you on it. my biggest problem is maybe it's just me as a human being. I'm emotionally slutty. I share too much. I like to create a degree of energy. Sometimes the energy I bring is too much. And so I get overexcited, especially if we're having breakfast and we're trying to discuss. And Joe's like, stop, save for the podcast. But I'm like, I haven't made my point. And you're like, I don't care. there's a point there, make it on the pod.
Your time will come.
Yes. And it's true, like, there is a moment when you are first telling a story that it's most organic and it's at its best. I find this frustrating, though, because I just want to make sure we're on the same page going into it. So, I mean, I've loved podcasts, been obsessed with podcasts for at least the last probably 4 years. And that's why I was so passionate for us to do one. And I know Joe already had done a podcast, but I wanted it to be...
That's a shout out to the Jungle Brothers podcast.
Shout out. Which we could also not do. Like, we probably, it would have been much harder for us to start a podcast if there wasn't already a sound desk.
Yeah, that's right. Set up. All the sort of stuff in place.
And we get to do it at Jungle Brothers.
Yeah.
So we got to fully acknowledge JB's, Paulie, Tiora, and the hard work that came before this.
Good call. That's Sydney, Jim, Jungle Brothers, now Jungle Botany, junglebotany.com. If you want to see, that's the fight lift move piece that you see us wearing sometimes, Jungle Brothers.
Some people think that's the Bulletproof brand. That's actually the Jungle Brothers brand, but still.
And I'm happy either way.
Yeah, it's
people
cool.
People are like, oh, you got the sickest Bulletproof, Jim. We're like, thanks, bruh.
Sure. It is.
It's going well.
But I don't think it's hard. It's just there is a discipline to the podcast, which is coming in with a topic and being able to address it and achieve a conclusion for the people. And sometimes Joe will take me a little bit left of center. Sometimes I will take the conversation left of center. There can be moments of clarity and Joe's like, I'm making a point. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm derailing you right now.
Kicking me under the table.
I think it's one of those things, because I love podcasts and I've gotten a lot in my life from them. And now people are telling us, I'm getting a lot out of the podcast. I want it to be better all the time. And so sometimes I struggle with that when it's not just a good chat. And most of the time it is, right? And then there's times when I'm actually trying to make a point. And Joe's like, suck a dick. And I'm like, oh. Trying to talk about anatomy and physiology, Joe.
Yeah.
You're not taking this very seriously.
I'm like, whatever, bro. I think Merengali's hot. Let's talk about that.
On reflection there, what is the hardest thing about doing a podcast with me, Joe?
Well, right. So that one was kind of like me just maybe being disruptive to your flow.
Sort of process.
So the hardest thing for me is probably, I would say, and I'm not even trying to be agreeable, but it's probably managing your energy.
Right.
And it's, you guys can probably tell as listeners of this thing, JT's a high energy guy. There's probably like troughs or down periods, but I tend not to see those. I'm guessing
his
partner Ola and the family are the ones that have to deal with that. Whereas for me, I'm an even keel guy. I'm always the same. Yeah. No peaks, no troughs. And it's good, but it's not necessarily better in my opinion, right?
No.
I don't experience the elation that some people may experience on here and there. But in any case, I don't know if that makes me, I'm maybe thinking that this is perhaps what introverts can experience, but sometimes like if we're doing the show, right? Or if we're shooting content and you're bringing the energy to me at the cafe before, I'm like, bro, you're draining my energy before we get there to bring the energy. It's kind of, so that's the thing. So yeah, I've had to find ways. We butt heads on it all the time. I think I've become better at finding ways to manage that.
Shut up. Yeah. Stop now.
Yeah.
We're eating
Jules,
food.
Jules, put your dog on a leash.
Put the food in your mouth. Yeah. Chew, breathe, into the nose.
It's kind of an Aikido. I divert. I go, oh, James, tell me about your breakfast salad. And then just, oh, camera's on.
No, I get that. I guess we do look at it differently because I look at the cafe as the warm-up. Yeah. I'm like, yo, this is where we get G'd up and now we're going to go and... But it's definitely, I'm a morning person and I like, my peak energy is 6 a.m. till 12 and then it's all downhill from there.
My peak energy is between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., except it's the same the whole time. There's no peak.
That's the peak. Oh, shit.
What are we drinking right now?
Mate, so this is actually, it's called the, what's it called when it's against religion?
Yours is the St. Ali Blasphemy?
Blasphemy.
Whiskey?
And this is a coffee, it's got a coffee essence,
caramel, something about the barrels.
St. Ali, which I believe is a Melbourne roastery.
It is. Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, shout out. Great cafe. And what do you...
Thanks for the sponsorship.
Same. Cheers.
Sorry for the people listening on Spotify or iTunes.
Yeah, yeah,
getting
just
those long pauses while
slurps.
We... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a visual experience, guys. Tune in on the YouTube for this one.
Yeah, definitely.
I am drinking a... This is a rye malt whiskey.
Rye malt. I've got that next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got yours next. So I believe rye whiskey is like a North America, Canadian thing.
Yep.
There's a fuckload of it when I was in Canada.
Yep.
I think we just used to punish it with Coke and stuff because we were just trying to get hammered.
Just Aussies.
You know, on snowboard
sugar,
tour.
Alcohol. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't really drink beer. I'm not big on beer. And that's why we are here at the distillery. I do like whiskeys. And we have one drop around the corner. We could have gone there.
Yeah.
We know Clay. Clay's the manager and a great JB's member.
Owner. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, that's his thing.
It's his business. Great business.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of the beers. Don't get me wrong. But I do find after I've had a few, I tend to just get tired.
Yeah.
And I was saying before, I'm a little bit irritable. I think that's when you are just tired.
Yes.
And then you have a few beers. It just accelerates you into like irritability. But yeah, so it was a good call coming here because we can sit on some spirits and
kind of chill it a bit.
Keep it classy.
Pretend like we got that.
Well, I'm pretty, I put some gel in my hair and shit for this. I'm surprised that Men's Health didn't get in touch.
Yeah, well, I mean.
We're here doing whiskey, gin, couple of strapping gentlemen.
Of course. Why aren't they putting us on the cover?
Yeah, basically.
Eventually.
They haven't featured any jiu-jitsu people. I think it's because we don't have the V-taper as jiu-jitsu players.
We don't, we're too thick.
You just end up with the straight down torso.
Yeah.
It's not aesthetic enough.
Too hench. It is what it is.
There's a business idea, a men's or women's health for the jiu-jitsu community. Where everyone you feature is just hench.
Just blocks.
Yeah,
just stocky
no
as hell.
No V-tapers.
No, it wouldn't gel well.
So I'm going to share something with the listeners. I think that one of the unique things about podcasting I find, like, because one of the coolest things about it is that people who are listening can sit in on a conversation with you and actually intimately get to know you.
Yeah, they're at the table.
Yeah. You know, like all of that shit that we share, those funny, you know, the bullshit we talk.
Stupid moments, yeah.
Yeah, the stories, whatever. It's like people are learning all of this and actually getting to know us in the way that you would like with a close friend.
Sure.
But we don't know, we don't even know who you are.
We never got to meet
like
we
that's
never
got the, to meet you. And it's a real one-way kind of thing.
It is.
And obviously when you're at a comp or whatever, or people message you on the Instagram and go, thank you, it goes a long way.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I'm also not complaining about this. It's just a fascinating thing to think about. I don't know, it would be cool to one day be able to do something where we would
like
have
a meetup,
a physical event.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's possible. I think it's definitely possible in the future that at some point we'll get the whole Bulletproof Brotherhood together. We'll do a physical meetup, get everyone together.
Sisters are included in the Brotherhood,
of course. The Brotherhood is just a term. It's not exclusive to men. For
should it be
all
Bulletproof
our
Brethren?
Brethren? But Brethren implies brothers too.
I think it's like guys.
It is. And let's be honest.
The dudes decided on that.
It's no. This is white male privilege talking here. No, that 95% of our listeners are men. So shout out to the 5 women who are following this.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. We respect you.
And we see you. We just obviously bias towards the fellas.
We know that it's the smallest percentage, so we don't want to say anything
but
offensive to you.
Promise, we're never going to start doing episodes that are like 5 tips to pick up a hot jiu-jitsu chick.
Oh,
we won't go there.
That's not what we're on anyway.
I mean, forget the clicks.
If we start talking prostate health. Yeah, Joe. So how was your prostate check, Joey? Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I had a sweet male nurse and no
gi class last week. I had an interesting experience.
No. So we got some questions for this thing.
Yeah, we put it out there. Some of y'all sent through some questions. The way we're doing it is Jules is going to text the questions to us and then we're going to speak about them.
Yeah.
Questions, talking points, whatever we're on. Let's see.
So it's meant to be a surprise so we can be like, the boys react, so it can be more candid.
Best/favorite dirty jiu-jitsu techniques. Bonus points if the other one has ever been on the receiving end.
Oh, I've got one.
I fucking bet you got a bunch. You can't.
Yeah, but I haven't. I don't know. I haven't really. Actually, I think maybe one time I hit you with it. It's kind of like the throat punch.
throat punch triangle, like you're not quite triangling.
Yeah,
them.
When I was trying to stack pass you.
Yeah.
And I had double unders and then you hit me with the shit.
Yeah, so I put you basically, you put the leg over the shoulder like you're going to do a triangle, and then you can do a gi or no gi. You can get the lapel and you basically just punch into the throat and you close the triangle and just punch into the throat. It's just like, gross. What the fuck, you man? It was, it's magical. I thought that's a bullshit technique. And then I saw Kynan Duarte do it to a guy and he put the guy out.
Vindicated.
The guy would not tap and the guy's just like, ugh.
And that's a real throat crush pain choke.
Lumped him. It was brutal. And I was like, I'm doing that. And it's beautiful. I mean, I put it out there. It's the slow motion throat punch. Shout out. Check it out. We might have to do an instructional on that. How about yourself? Is there a dirty technique that you like? Because most of the techniques you hit on me have just been armbar.
Yeah, you're...
far side armbar.
Yeah, I basically have one technique. And
I actually hit me with the calf slicer after I showed it to you.
I did. You were kind of cruising at the grading and I hit you with a calf slicer.
But anyway, it's all good. It's legit.
You showed that to me.
I did show it to you.
You told me that, yeah.
And then you hit it on me and I was like, oh, fuck.
Fuck this guy. I was like bear trap.
I was being too chill. Never rolled Joey chill. Never, never.
So you won't believe this, but I just, well, no, you, I don't have a lot of techniques, right? This is what I got to, and this kind of goes in line with my personality. I got a few things that I do and I try to do them kind of well-ish in the realm of jiu-jitsu. And in techniques, I don't actually have anything dirty that I can think of. I mean, I'm all about catching a sneaky footlock or a wrist lock when it's available.
Yeah.
But I don't actually have a means of getting there.
Right.
Here's one that I did hit once and I saw Wagner Rocha do it and it was it was the face choke.
Oh, the smother.
Yeah, when you're on the back and then you just fucking
cut
the
smother.
Yeah, and then use that to sink
go to the choke.
Yeah, and I did that to Zane Saliba.
Oh, Zane. Yeah. Insane.
He didn't tap to it, but he was like, I think under the muffle, he's like, what the fuck? and then I was like, oh, I'm being a full dog right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a bit of a fan of that.
Yeah, it's a wicked move.
I guess I could also say when the time calls for it, I don't mind a rear naked choke that goes over the
nose. Yeah.
Yeah. I take the Nicky Rod approach there, anywhere under the eyeballs.
My favorite is everything is slow motion. The slow motion punch under the chin for the head turn.
Yeah.
Or the head lift.
Thank you, brother. This would be the blasphemy here. Yep. Very good. Guy.
Switchy switch. Cheers. All right, so we're taking turns with the questions here. Have either of you done PEDs? No judgment. It's interesting. No, I have never, ever done performance enhancing drugs. Done many other drugs, not performance enhancing. The closest I've ever come to steroids is like a corticosteroid for my skin because I used to have really bad eczema. And as a young child.
And what was the dosage though? That's what we're asking.
Well, maybe it's like Obelix from Asterix and Obelix. As a young child, I had bronchitis. So I actually had to have like a steroid puffer because basically...
Medicinal use.
Yeah. As a three-year-old, I was just like, I'm going to crush everyone.
Yeah.
Like it basically felt like I was having an asthma attack every day of my life between like 2 and 5.
Oh, wow.
And so I had to have this pretty strong steroid puffer to stop my lungs from... getting really inflamed and me having an asthma attack.
Dying.
Yes, basically. Yeah. And then once I moved to the Blue Mountains out of the city, a lot of that cleared up.
Oh, is that part of the reason to move out there?
Yeah, because like I had
less pollutants,
crazy eczema and couldn't breathe and all kinds of problems. Plus there was a bunch of crime in Newtown back in the day. Shout out. There was a burglar. Actually, I was at home and there was a burglar on the roof next door trying to get into our house. And I was at home with my mum. And I said to my mum, I was like 3 or 4. I don't actually remember. My mum knows this, told me the story. I was like, Mum, there's a man at the window. She was like, what? She like grabbed a frying pan, ran up the hall. You! Like, and he was like, fuck. And just booted. But yeah, there's a lot of break-ins in our street down the end of kind of Newtown Marrickville Way. And my parents were like, this is bad.
Bro, on that, I had the funniest little exchange in our small group the other day.
Okay, yep.
So there's 5 crew that train with me in the mornings. Bulletproof crew, all jiu-jitsu players. And Pillen, shout out to Pillen, one of our boys.
Yeah, MP.
Great brown belt. He has these scars on his forearm that I've noticed them, but I've never asked about. I was like, bro, what's the deal with that? And he's like, oh, fuck, I went through a window when I was like 12, I think he said he was, or something, or a teenager. And I'm like, what happened? He said, oh, someone broke into my house and I was wrestling them.
Oh, wow.
And I went through the window and I'm like, holy shit.
Whoa, dude.
And he said, yeah, we lived in Glebe.
Right.
And like break-ins were a real thing. And I'm like, bro, that's so funny because another fella in our group, Sammy,
yeah,
who's been on the Jungle Brothers podcast, he also grew up in Glebe.
Right.
And he was telling stories on our podcast about when they used to break into houses and shit. And I'm like, bro, he might have been the guy that broke into your house.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny.
He's and like, so did they then just, did you just have an EBI overtime match?
I was like, boys, yeah.
Let's settle it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a funny energy. I'm like, how do we approach this? But I'm like, you guys should have a chat about it. And they're like, huh. Yeah, we should have a chat about that, but just
bumping in their respective opposite sets. Yeah. They were never friends. Yeah, man, so my parents got me out of there. So the closest I've ever come to, like, PEDs is, like...
Cortisone.
Yeah, cortisone to try and settle that down. Yeah.
I've never done PEDs either. Sorry to disappoint because I know this rig is spectac. And you would like to be able to say, well, he's obviously on that fucking hot sauce.
Well...
I'm not... all I did was avoid carbs for 10 years and lift heaps of weights. That helps.
There you go. Well, yeah, I mean, I started lifting weights at 10 and a half years old. And as a fierce nerd with the burning revenge to avenge all those jock fuckers that messed me up, I turned into the Hulk. Chad. Yeah, I've been 75 kilos and this tall since I was 12. I was shaving when I was 12. So
were you?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah, just like the single blade Bic.
Until I was like 32.
And just cutting my face, like not knowing how to shave, just absolutely destroying myself. But that's the thing, man. I think it's like a lifetime of weightlifting will do it to you.
So I guess on that, I guess what's funny with the PEDs thing, and I still find this hard to reconcile because like I've known people in the gym realm and stuff who are using steroids.
Yes.
But I've never been exposed to it personally. I've never had like a close friend.
Right.
Or someone like, that's like, oh yeah, I'm juicing or someone. And then that's in jiu-jitsu or even in the gym world. And so when you see this thing where it's like most of the elite level guys are juicing and girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe it, but I can't believe it.
Because yeah.
I'm like, well, why haven't I
been exposed
come
to
across it?
It?
Yeah.
Well, I think in gym culture, like even as a young kid, so I started in the gym when I was 11. When I was 13, I had a big guy come up to me like, hey, you're a big kid. And just get on the gear. You could be a pro bodybuilder. I'm 13. And this guy's like, no. I was like, bro, I don't want any of this.
What was he talking about, like fishing gear or some shit?
No. He's like, pins, bro.
He's like, bruh.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I have no money. I'm not into this. He's like, no, you just have to do a couple of jobs for me and my friends and we'll hook you up.
Oh, wow.
Full like bikey gang bullshit.
Yeah.
And so, man, even from a young age, I was having steroids offered to me. And then when I was 18, 19, working in the gym full time, a lot of pro bodybuilders in our gym.
Okay.
And a lot of them are like, bro, you should get on. Like, you're already pretty big. You could be bigger. And it's not expensive, man. I'm like, fuck off. These guys are dropping thousands of dollars on vials and tablets and all this shit. And I was like,
wow,
dude. I'm a broke ass. I'm just trying to afford Jordans. Yeah. Like, I got a sneaker habit. I can't pay for drugs. And plus, I was just like, it was never, like, my parents are very clean living humans. They'd always said, like, stay away from alcohol, stay away from drugs. And so it was very much in my ethic, like, you never touch that. And then going through Taekwondo and the whole Olympic thing, they would test us after a state final.
Really?
I had a lady holding a cup while I peed. She's like, I'll look away. And I'm like, you ain't looking away from this. But no, it was like
JT's like, how many stripes you want, lady?
She was like, actually, in Taekwondo, you had to pay for them stripes, but no sexual favors. but no, it's crazy that like when I won my first state championship as a, I think like a blue belt or a red belt.
Oh, okay, Joe Rogan.
Sorry. Let me show you a back kick, Joe.
Yeah.
You can be the bag. I'll
be
just
GSP,
boom, work that back kick on you. See how to turn them hips. But it's crazy that I experienced drug testing from a very young age. So I was always like, nah.
How interesting. Yeah, right.
At a very amateur level for Taekwondo, they would drug test.
Yeah, right.
Because it was an Olympic sport.
So there you go. Nah, neither of us done PEDs. What are you going to do?
What you reckon?
Why down the questions, Jules. Fuck. We're getting a little bit lubricated here.
What you reckon... Who do you reckon is sourcing and who's natty rooster to ultra? I'm going to say very comfortably that like, even if you look at a guy like Diego Pato, he's on the juice. He's so angry and so jacked as a tiny guy he's so strong, he's so fast. If you look at him compared to other like featherweight cats, I'm going to say he's on the juice. I'm going to say that 90% of everyone in the competitive jiu-jitsu sphere is on the juice.
Is Jeremy Paul Skinner on the juice?
No, he's anorexic. I've been telling him he needs to just eat some fucking steak and lift some weights, but he still won't do it. So I'm going to say there's very few natural athletes, and it would be awesome if people would just voluntarily test, be like, hey, I'm natural. But then most guys who do that, they just look natural. It's like Roberto Jimenez, bro, we know you're natural. You're just testing positive for weed and, you know.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
You know, we know that you're not taking steroids, bro. You're too manorexic. But I'm going to say above, you're going to see most dudes above, even lightweight guys, we've seen it. Like, and even the Meow brothers as a recovery
Mendes,
thing.
Mendes, one of the Mendes brothers popped a while back.
Here's the thing about Mendes brothers. They never officially were revealed as...
Right.
But then I had read, and I'll have to find this, that if you test positive, but you agree to retire, they won't reveal it on you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How interesting.
And so both Guy Mendes and Rafael Mendes retired very early with no obvious reason as to why. I think that's sketchy.
It's fishy.
Anyway.
All right, so I'm going to offer my response in two parts. I'm going to push back on yours, but I acknowledge that juicing has to be a thing at the elite level of most sports. And in a sport like jiu-jitsu where you cop so much physical damage.
Yeah.
Just in like jiu-jitsu, MMA, like in the training, it's fucking brutal on your body.
Injuries.
So it makes sense to me rationally that to compete at that upper level where motherfuckers don't tap to shit.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you need some hot sauce in order to be recovering and be able to stay in the game. However, principally, I have a thing where I'm like, I've never liked going with the they're all on juice mindset.
Right.
I do feel like, and not you, but I do feel like a lot of other people have always said that. Basically, when they're looking at someone that's got more muscle or is in better shape than them, they're like, oh, they're all juicing. They're all, you know. And I see personally... I feel like it's a defeatist thing to be like, no. I'm not saying for yourself, but I'm like, I don't want to just prescribe to this idea that they're all on the sauce, even though I think they're probably all on the sauce. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm trying to show nuance.
Let's look
here.
Fuck nuance. Let's look at Instagram.
Jay, he's the binary guy. It's on or it's off?
No. In this instance, yes, it is on or off. And let me tell you, it's fucking on.
Well, but hang on. But then you're saying Instagram JPS is not a juicer?
No, of course not. He's anorexic.
But how can you say no, of course not, when they all
like,
are?
Like, I train with him. I know he's fucking weak as shit.
Is there a personal bias in there then?
No, he's just a weak dude. I'll call him weak. I'd have probably more respect if he did juice. No, I'm joking. Shout out, Jeremy. Like, I'm like, bro, do something to get strong.
What's I'm just saying I think there's conflict in that line.
No, not at all. I don't care. Like, there's not a bias. I love Jeremy. He's my guy. I'm not saying... he's innocent because he's my guy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, like, if we look at some of my favorite athletes, like Rodolfo Vieira, like, I admire him, but for sure, I saw his back knee. You can't be 25 years old.
Maybe he had chocolate the night before.
And pimples popping off your shoulders, bro. I stood behind him when he took off his shirt at Worlds 2012. My God. Like, it's, you don't...
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Outlier.
So, no, I'm saying I admire the guy. Having spoken to people better than me, deep in the scene, there is a very few who are not. Right? And I think with the... we've talked about the rise of Nogi.
Like, if Shanji was a juicer?
Fuck, it would be hard for me to say, probably. It would be hard to say. I don't know. I'm not trying to besmirch Shanji because I... if you watch the Shanji, I love you. You're the man. And I think you are equally the GOAT on parity with Hodge Gracie, even though people not agree with
me. Think Hodge is a juicer?
He's a huge human. I don't know. Maybe. But who would know? He's a giant. Who could tell?
But that's why I'm like,
but like, look at the
fucking
hairline of Homolo Bahal. Like, it's just receded.
We're all getting older.
Hey, man. I'm just saying certain factors.
Dude, yeah, he was like boy face,
yeah,
boy neck, and then just like, grumpy as fuck.
Yeah. And I mean, look, dudes have popped. Like, dudes, so many
absolutely.
Dudes have subsequently popped. So it's like, it's really tough, guys. Like, I look at it this way, is basically, jiu-jitsu has hit this level where it is, the competition is so intense to be number one. dudes are prepared to do stuff which isn't within the rules to win. And this is most major elite sport. That's what I'd say. You got the next question.
I got the next one.
Let's go.
Favorite pump-up tracks for lifting and competing, plus favorite tracks to roll to.
Oh.
I bet JG's got a fucking playlist for each of those.
Let me just pull it out right now. No, I love like anything.
Sandstorm Darude.
Scooter, are you ready? No. Skits Mix 17.
Nah, that Schumacher song. Remember that one from Wild FM?
Yeah. No. So I'm going to say, like, anything gets me really emotional. So it could be hip hop related. If it hits me in the feels, like, I'm like.
My people.
Oh, no. Like, I'm about to cry and punch something right now. And then just biggest deadlift you've ever seen. I like hip hop. I like anything I got an emotional connection with. I definitely like Prodigy. I like most things by Prodigy.
Wow. High energy.
Like early Prodigy, like.
I fucking hate that shit.
I fucking love it. It gets me so cheated up.
Actually, I can appreciate it more these days. Sure. I remember as a kid watching.
At the time you went into it.
Come on to video hits, I'd be like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Like that.
Just trying to get some new kids on the block over here.
But I guess I've changed my tack on this because I do have certain music that does get me pretty keyed up. But I found that, like, sometimes I've got to lift and not listen to anything because I can't remember what it was like a famous lifter that said, oh, if you're relying on music, then you need to get a new hobby.
Right.
For your lifting.
Yeah.
Like, you don't take your lifting serious. You have to be able to just focus right. And really get it.
Yeah.
So I'm much less reliant on having the right music. Like, oh, it's got to be perfect. I like to just vibe. Like, as long as I feel good and I can feel confident, it's much more about breathing. But do you have pre-training music that you like to?
No. Nah,
or music you like to roll to?
It will go between. It'll actually be anything based on the day. And I definitely.
On your vibe.
Yeah, I have days like yesterday I was on my way to training and I was listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Lex Fridman, Sam Harris. And it's just a con.
That's very.
It's like a 4-hour fucking chat. So, but I'm actually quite enjoying it. But, you know, sometimes it's that. Sometimes I'm on my way to training and I want some fucking EDM. Like I want some techno.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and if you want to know what I'm listening to at the moment, Yotto. I'm digging Yotto, particularly the track Breezer.
Okay.
If people are looking for specifics. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, fuck yeah, let's get G'd up. Sometimes I'm like, let's just stay chill.
Yeah.
And I tend to think it's based on whatever my mind frame was before that moment.
Okay.
So like lately, or yesterday, I'd had a big morning of like work stuff.
Yeah.
So I was kind of overloaded.
Yeah.
And I was on my way to Jits and I'm like, I don't want to G up.
Sure.
I just want to like tune into something else, which takes me away from that and then go to class.
Yeah.
But I got my fucking ass handed to me, so I'm not doing that again.
He's too chill. Too chill. Sam Harris, fuck you. Yeah. Nah, I mean, for me, it's happy or angry. I've got to either feel like really elated and be like, fuck, I love my life. Life's so good. And that gets me in a place. Or it's got to be, break your fucking face tonight. Give me something bright.
Oh,
God. Just like mental. Like, I don't need smelling salts.
I'm so embarrassed right now.
We're in a public bar.
Yeah.
But I need something that's going to tap into, like, I got to, like...
Primal NRG.
Just absolute. Because I actually read this in a book saying the greatest force production occurs through, like, white-hot anger. Like, pure rage is where you're your most uninhibited, and that's where you can produce the most force. So I learned that, and I was like, right, if I can tap into that, I can do some big, big lifts.
So...
Jiu-jitsu is different. Usually 90s rap. And I'll freestyle over the top of it while I'm choking you.
Yeah, I think like kind of 90s rap is the one, right? For rolling. When I'm rolling, I don't want anything too energetic or just something chill that's just kind of fun, good vibes. Yeah, 90s rap somehow ticks that box, even though it's often talking about drug dealing and just getting killed on the streets. Yeah,
kicking the door, waving the 404.
Yeah.
I am, oh man, funny incidents. So at Cobrinha's gym, they play a lot of reggae. Like, there's absolute.
Which in Brazil is pronounced
Heggy. Heggy, yeah, which is kind of
a cute word.
It's kind of confusing. But I witnessed a very brutal thing, and it felt like Clockwork Orange, where they hold his eyes open, and they make him watch all this traumatic shit while listening to classical music, and it makes it really traumatic for him. I witnessed Cobrinha ripping on a huge Kimura on Michael Lange, like really brutally fucking ripping his arm off. And I was like, could this be love? You know, I was like,
hey, we're all friends here.
I was like, Bob Marley, I can't get, every time I hear that song, I can't get the vision out of my head. Just like this, like Kimura out of my head. I was like, whoa. So I feel different about Heggy now since training at Cabrini.
Feel bad. I'm also going to put it out there for rolling. Sometimes I don't want music.
Nah.
I came up in a gym where there was never any music.
Yeah.
And I'm really comfortable with that. I know there's a lot of gyms that do it now and it's like a must have. But I think if you never have it, you just get used to it.
Yeah, you just.
And it's just the sound of
work.
It's the sound of work, isn't it? Yeah. You're hearing people breathing heavy. Yeah, like all that.
The slap, the takedown, the work.
Yeah. There's something therapeutic in that.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And I would say I'm the same. I've changed my way about lifting. Actually, prefer to just be more focused when I lift and not listen to music and just breathe and think and engage.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on having male-only classes? They're often female-only, but why not make male-only?
My question is why?
Well, I mean,
most
jiu-jitsu classes are male-only. I feel like...
If you're an incel, maybe it's good to have male-only classes.
Well, I mean, look... Like if I don't look, I don't have a problem rolling with anyone. I don't look at someone as male or female. I just feel their energy and their skill. If they're bringing big energy and big skill, then I gotta match that, you know? If you've got an issue with rolling with women, then that's like, yeah, I mean, maybe you need to just say, no, I'm not gonna roll with women. We had an Orthodox Jewish guy we used to train with who would just not even shake hands with women.
He couldn't. His religion forbade him. Yeah,
not even like high-fiving and stuff, just like...
It was a bow, wasn't it?
No contact. A bow,
thank you.
I'm like, whatever, full respect to any religion and any belief system. You know, I'm not commenting on that. I just think whether you are male or female, if you don't want to roll with someone for any reason, just don't.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to have exclusive classes. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I don't get why there's that, but I do get why there's female only, and that's because they are a minority. They're typically smaller. They're typically not as strong as males. So it's a steeper hill for them to climb when they're in classes day to day, which are male dominant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as much as I don't necessarily think gyms have to do female only classes, no. I totally see the reason for it.
Yeah.
It's like, great. Yeah. Like if you've got a female contingent, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. Because. Yeah. It's a very, I think it's a very different experience for a woman showing up to jiu-jitsu or a female than it is for a male.
Yeah, I agree with that.
One is showing up to a room that's full of them.
Yeah.
The other one is showing up to a room that's full of the other gender.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, pretty much everyone's bigger than me and this is going to be tough.
And it depends on how you're raised, right? Like, you know, someone who was raised with older brothers and had to deal with that might be cool. You know, it depends on the person.
Just another day.
Yeah, I know some real, you know, strong women who are like, count me as one of the boys. I'm down to bang, you know? And then for some people, that's not what they're there for. So I think it's like, it's being able to find, it doesn't matter if you male or female, you got to find the gym which has the right mix of people for you. And doing women's only is great. I think even splitting the class, if you've got a big enough gym to split the class between 70 and under and 70 and over, or wherever you cut that line, if you're a 50-kilo person, male or female, training with a 100-kilo person, that's not... I actually don't think it's that beneficial.
No.
When it's like bigger than a 20-kilo difference... It's
good to have as an experience once or twice.
Maybe.
It's not actually going to further your jiu-jitsu all that much.
No, you're not getting more technical off rolling with the heavyweights.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is this me now?
Believe.
Who wins overall record if back-to-back five-minute rounds, black belt JT at his fittest... versus 50 blue belt Joeys. Bro, I am fucking dominating this cunt.
What are you talking about?
Dude.
At my fittest?
At your fittest, black belt JT's got no chance against 50 blue belt means.
50?
Bro, I'm fucking...
55 minute rounds?
You cannot deal with the athleticism in that volume.
That's not true.
It's a velocity skill. That you don't understand.
Skill.
Skill only goes so far. Thing.
Joey gets very disheartened if he gets submitted. Whereas if I lose a round or if I get submitted, I spark up. Me at my fittest at black belt would injure every Joey. So if it's a multiple of the next, Joeys,
it's like Mr. Smith from the Matrix. The next one doesn't have that feeling. He just comes.
Yeah.
And you
and
squash
I break him.
The next one just
and
comes.
And I break him.
And then it comes.
And I break him. Right. And I injure him every time. 50 subs in 5 minutes is only one every 10 seconds. I don't have to roll 5 minutes. Like, I'm a brute. I'm a fucking
I wish we had a way to simulate this.
Fuck. Come at me and you're a blue belt, you want to bring that Joey energy, you're going to get fucked up. That's what I bring.
ChatGPT needs to evolve so that we can run this. See what's up.
Bro, have you not seen the comments online? Did you see that guy who said, oh, one time I trained with JT and he fucking guillotined me so hard I couldn't talk right for a week. My throat was
You
so
took
sore.
That as I'm a sick cunt. My jiu-jitsu is awesome. I took that as JT's a bully.
I am. Well, you know. Fire. Oh, look at that.
Jalapalooza for me.
My guy.
Thank you, sir.
Cool.
Thank you, man.
And I got like a fire Long Island iced tea of sorts, but it was fire. Had to have it.
Bro.
Cheers to you, sir.
Cheers to you, sir. Here's to Blue Belt Joey. Fucking crueling JT.
Here's to Black Belt bully JT, injuring Joey every time.
Oh, dang.
Oh, Flavor Town.
Delish. We're on the cocktails now. Face ID, bitch.
All right, handsome.
Here we go. Just hold up a picture of fucking Nicholas Marangali and that Face ID would unlock. Him, Jason Statham, Mark Wahlberg, take your pick.
Ryan Gosling.
The Goz.
Do you either have strong opinions on participation medals at kids' sporting events? Wow, I do have strong opinions about this. But Joey has a son, so it's different. So, Joe, your son, imagine he's 5 or only a year old or whatever. You've put him in Little Athletics or something. How do you feel? He kicks every child's ass because he's the alpha child, which he kind of is in a way. And then they all get the same medal. How do you feel about that, Joe? What do you think that means for society?
All right, so I got two feelings on this. Again, please. I'm bringing the nuance.
Bring it.
First is, yeah, I think participation medals are bullshit. I don't think anyone, you know, I don't think that the concept of that it's like, hey, you had a go at the thing, and so you get the award. However, the contrasting thought is, do we, and I'm asking this as a question because I'm not sure, do we reward winning too much? And obviously in a capitalist society, winning is everything.
I think even in a third world society, winning is everything.
Well, because they're aspiring to capitalism, right? But my point is like,
is there
an end point where driving all of the kids, so you, like with the example of my son Leo, am I removing something from the experience by saying, hey, the winner gets this award?
It's competition, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right, so, okay, let's define competition. Competition is defined by a competitive environment where a winner is the outcome. If it's an artistic process, right, everyone's a winner, right, because art is totally subjective. Mm-hmm. Competition is not. You either ran the fastest, lift the heaviest, did the thing that you had to do against everyone else to be able to achieve the thing.
Mm.
If you did not do the thing, you don't get it. I was like, should everyone get the salary that he who has the highest marks gets? No, that's not how it works. And whether you say it's a capitalist thing or a communist thing, it doesn't matter. They still had Olympic teams in communist societies. Actually, communist societies produced some of the greatest sporting champions. You know, Russia and China, they still strive for excellence. But I think the way it's viewed, whether you want to dress this up politically or not, is that it's you winning is the best representation of you and the society. So you're representing your people by winning. I honestly believe that participation medals is just a bit of a joke in the sense that, and this isn't about being PC. I lost everything as a kid. I was not athletic. I was not successful. I was the kid who came last and I felt that disappointment. Fine. There is a lot to be said for failing and not succeeding because it either makes you want to improve and get better or quit. And then maybe you move on to doing something better with your life. Maybe you shouldn't try and be a track athlete. Like, fuck being a track athlete. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you should go be an engineer or whatever, right?
Mm.
But the winners get the fucking spoils and the winners write history. So if you want to be on the right side of history, fucking win.
All right, Jocko. Fuck.
Stay on the path.
So great point. I do. I like how you paralleled there the The competition thing and the artistic thing.
You don't have to be in a competition. You don't.
Yeah, yeah. But I still...
That's a choice. You want to go there.
And I also think that incentive is like paramount.
Yeah.
But I'm all about incentive. But I'm also like, is there, if the prevailing kind of culture is leading towards the winners always?
But that's life. Winning in the past was, I kill you, I live.
Yeah.
And my genes go on. That's that simple. That was how competition was made.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the fact that it's how it is now and how it needs to be.
No, but that's evolution. That's primal. If it was like, who gets access to all the fertile young females? Like it's no like, oh, good times. You have a couple, I have a couple. Nah, I smash your head in with a rock, I win.
Yeah.
So it's pretty primal. So what I'm saying is, obviously we lived in a nuanced, intelligent society, but the winners these days are people who are running Google or people running Facebook. They're shaping the society.
I guess that's the thought there though, is like, and absolutely that is how it's always been. And that is what evolution is,
yeah.
Right? The winner goes on, the loser dies out.
Yes.
Is that still the best model?
No, I'm not saying it is the best model. We've hit a point where that's not the best model.
Because winning now,
winning is different. It's nuanced.
Stock market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've used my intelligence. Like the winners are the people who see the game for what it is and learn how to play the game better. And it's not always the athletes, right? You know, correct. It's not always the most athletic.
Yeah.
But if you choose and go, I'm going to enter this competition, you're putting yourself into a rule set, and you're saying the winner will be dictated by whoever achieves the outcome. It's just a game you choose to play.
Yeah.
If you choose to play that game, not everyone should be rewarded. That's the nature of the game. You don't like the nature of the game? Fucking quit. Move on. Competitive much? I was just watching clips of Michael Jordan the other day and I was like, yeah. Crazy.
I'm going to play for the Bulls.
No. Far too short. I got that.
Sign me up, Jackson.
Phil Jackson. He was actually quite a nice guy.
I'm reading his book at the moment, Sacred Hoops.
Yeah, and he's actually a very mellow... He's
like a super spiritual guy.
Yeah. And you got to think, not only was he successful with controlling Jordan, he was at the Lakers too, right?
Yeah. Well, I think he was at the Knicks.
He was at the Knicks.
And then the Lakers?
Yeah. He finished at the Lakers.
Yeah. He played at an elite level and yeah.
Oh, everyone. How do you both decide how much of your life you currently dedicate to BJJ? Health. Health is my indicator. Health and motivation. If I see Joey training a lot and I think... I think this guy's getting a bit uppity. I think he thinks that next time we roll, he's going to win. I'm going to...
I think he
thinks... jiu-jitsu training.
That's a zero-sum game, fam.
No, it's not. I see that footage. I see Joey posting more and more BJJ pics. I'm like,
hey, JT, just learned how to do a heel hook. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel like that?
Hey, JT, just watch the Lachlan Giles instructional.
It's all right.
Maybe cool. You've heard of him.
For me, it's health. I've been very lucky to be able to do 15 years of jiu-jitsu and have no major surgeries. I'm looking at my life as a whole. I look at my parents as they age. I'm looking at people who are younger than me, looking more crippled than me. And I enjoy very much being able to use my body. And so I don't have the same level of motivation to train if I think it'll compromise my health. Still train, but I think it just depends on, there's got to be something to really aim for. And yeah, so I do jiu-jitsu because I enjoy it, but I'm never going to do it so much that I start to get injured again. Like I'm just, if you cop a knock or a ding, that's all right. But I would say for me, it's health related. I'd rather be fit, healthy and strong to be a good example of that than be like, oh, my jiu-jitsu is so sick. That's my take on it. And I never thought I would hit that. Because when I was
fucking
talking...
Fucking pussy, bro.
Yeah. But I'll still kick your ass. Like, I mean, that's like... Yeah.
Hey, Nico, what's up?
I'm coming for Nico. I'm coming for everyone. Like, that's it. I'm not like, I'm, you know, that's it. I'm still trying to beat everybody, but yeah, minimal effort. How about you? How do you frame at the jiu-jitsu thing?
I'm like, what's sustainable given everything else I got going on?
Yeah.
And what's enjoyable? And for me, it's like 2-3 days a week.
Yep.
You know, usually two. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. That keeps me happy.
Yeah.
I think in the past I used to be like as much as possible, but yeah, for now I'm like, as much as possible means that I'm putting other things on the back burner, yeah. right? I'm sacrificing yeah. other things. And at this stage in my life, I'm like, I don't want to sacrifice other things. Look, I want time with the family. I need time for work.
Yeah.
I want time to do my strength training. And so I'm yeah. like, yeah, 2-3 is good.
I'm like a recovering heroin addict of BJJ. It's so hard for me to not go all in.
Yeah.
If I go roll with Ben Hodgkinson and he beats me, I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to beat Ben Hodgkinson. But he's like over in Texas. He's doing B-team.
Addicts.com. Download Lachlan Giles instructional
yeah. purchase. Yeah. Like I just, it's hard for me to not go all in on things. And I think that's, I realize that like, even you guys watching this, like, if I can't demonstrate a squat or an overhead press because I have an injury from jiu-jitsu, then I'm not operating at my best point of contribution. Point of contribution for me is probably more important than my own. Like I get more satisfaction from helping others than almost helping myself. I mean, I'm always going to lift, stay fit and healthy. It's not about not taking care of myself. But essentially, if I prioritize my jiu-jitsu over what I'm doing now, then what I'm doing now won't succeed. And that's probably the most important thing, to be honest.
I feel that. My thinking of JT's approach there, where it's like all in, I think that as we age in jiu-jitsu, there is a time that comes where we just can't
do it.
Engage with it in the way that we used to.
No.
And so my approach is probably more conservative because I'm happy to be less involved with it in that direct sense. And less involved with it means you get your ass kicked a bit more.
You do, yeah.
Right? You show up to a tough class and it's like, even though you used to be the guy that was putting it
kicking
on people,
ass, yeah.
Now you're going to be the one that's on the receiving end.
Yeah.
And I've grappled with this for a long time, no pun intended, but like, do I show up harder and ask and demand more of my jiu-jitsu to still be that guy? Or do I just accept that this is a timeline that I'm on and declining in skill and, or not declining in skill.
No, but it's...
But in performance.
Yeah, say, I mean...
Is part of that.
It's difficult, right? Because we were saying this before about like, say, young Julian. If you're trying to compete, like if you're 35 or you're 40 and you have responsibilities that are other than yourself, you have a family, you have a business, and you have young Julian who just does jiu-jitsu full-time, does a bit of YouTube content and works at Telstra 3 days a week.
Y'all need a phone subscription or some shit?
He'll hook you up with extra data. But I mean, but what are you gonna do? Like that's an unfair competition. I guess the challenge for me is I remember a time when I could beat Craig Jones in training. It was many years ago, but it's still in my mind and I can't shake it. And I still want to beat Craig Jones. But fuck that guy. But it's like he's in a different universe to me in jiu-jitsu. Like
it's what keeps you up at night, JT?
It's unrealistic. Nothing actually. I just fall asleep from exhaustion. And over caffeination.
And then I fucking dream about Craig Jones.
No. But I think the hard thing for me is like the competitiveness never goes away. So if you're someone who's just got that competitive burn, you do what you can. But I'm never entering the Masters category. I just need to take it to a different arena. Like, so I think the thing is you've got to learn what you're satisfied with and just make a deal with yourself. And be like, that's what will make me happy. And if you can agree on that and meet that, that's okay. But if you keep, it's the Faustian bargain, right? Like the golden handcuffs, like I'll only be happy when. That's, you're always going to be unhappy. So you got to find the moments of happiness. I like to push myself. I think the difference is that if you can find different ways to challenge yourself and be satisfied with that, then you're good. And the only way that happens is by staying on top of this guy.
I got to take a piss.
That's a verbal tap, ladies and gentlemen. Joey's tapped out.
You gotta go get a pump on.
Talk about being competitive. I'll win, bitch. I'm gonna drink both these drinks. Yeah. All right, we're back. All right, so
JT had to take a piss. Sorry, guys.
Oh god, weak bladder, small balls, Joey. All right, here we go.
I was watching a what's his fucking name? Rich Piana.
Oh yeah.
I'm all on these Rich Piana.
Oh bro, you are on
meme
the
videos you're on Instagram. It. Yeah. The algorithm's just got my number and it's like, what about this just, one? This
it's one's feeding it too. To you.
Yeah. And it's him where he's like, it's him and it's like Rich Piana trying to convince his grandma to take steroids. And he's like, yeah, your fucking balls shrink. But he's like, it doesn't change your dick. And he's like, and if your muscles are going to get bigger and your balls shrink, like, what's bad about that? Actually, I think it's a good thing if your balls shrink because you just took harder to the... Like, I'm like, bro, like, you need to stop.
Right. So Rick Boogs is a wrestler in the WWE, but he's a friend of Juju Mufra's. Is how I clicked onto him. He's a hulk of a dude. And he's like, went to this gym, PR'd on bench. They have, he said, they have Rich Piana posters and they're playing 80s rock. My kind of a gym. And I was like, oh, wow. Rich Piana.
Piana posters. Says a lot about a venue.
It's your kind of a gym. Mm.
Fucking hell.
Hilarious. But I want you to quickly tell a story. We're talking about alcohol because we're about to move on to our next drink.
We're a little bit lubricated.
Man, I am vibing. I'm Liddy. Let's go. On God, no cap.
You want my Vegas story about the Prohibition fucking cocktails? So I'm in Vegas. I'm there for a Bucks weekend. This was some years ago. I met up. There was a girl that I met years before. Bondi Joey in my fucking prime stage.
Bondi Joey.
We hung out and whatever. Anyway, she's
golden era Joey.
I know that she lives in Vegas, and so I touched base with her. And she's like, "Hey, I'm only there for a weekend, but she's like, let's get together on the Sunday night. Let's get together on the Sunday night. We'll go out for some drinks, and then you can crash at my joint." and so I'm like, "All right, sounds great." So I had this big weekend with the Bucks group and whatever. It was mad fun, but we meet up and I'm like, hey, what have you been up to? Catching up. She's like, oh, I'm working as a mixologist. And I'm like,
mixologist?
I'm like, what the fuck's a mixologist? She's like, oh, I make cocktails. And I'm like, okay, you guys.
A bartender.
Right on, yeah. I'm like, all right, sick. I'm like, there's a thing going on here. And she's like, yeah, it's so cool. Like, started talking about mixing drinks and whatever. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is obviously like something that's very important to her. Anyway, she's like, hey, let's go to this nearby bar. I got a friend that works at this place and we'll go get a drink. I'm like, cool, let's go. So we get to this bar and it's at the Cosmopolitan, where we caught up.
Yeah, we did. We went
to ADCC, right?
ADCC, it was cool.
That was where we met up in Vegas. Brought back a lot of memories. So anyway, we're at the Cosmo and we sit down at this bar and fella comes over, bartender. He's like, hey, what's up? And he like knew her and she's like, hey, it's my friend Joey. And she's like, hey, can we get a couple cocktails? And guy's like, yeah, what do you guys want? And she said, I don't know what's cool, And he's like, oh, I'm really digging like Prohibition style cocktails at the moment. So like just hard liquor, no mixes, And I'm like, that sounds cool,
Okay, sure.
She's like, go for it. So he comes back with like two highballs that were just, I'm like, holy fucking shit. Like what is it? What is not in this? Right?
Just burning a hole through the table.
So we drink the thing. And then she's like, let's move on. We'll go. There's another bar here in the Cosmo, which is the bar that we met at.
Right.
And with the big chandeliers. And
yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
And so she's like, let's go then. So we go there. And she's got a mate that works at the place.
Of course.
We sit down. Fella comes over. Hey, what do you guys want? She's like, I don't know. What's cool? He's like, I'm really digging Prohibition style cocktails at the moment. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm totally down with that. She's like, I sought you guys out. I'm like, man, fuck. God. Dude comes up with another highball full of shit.
Oh, God.
We made it to like, I think we hit like four bars and every motherfucker had the same story.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, bro, can I just get some lemonade or some Coke?
Can we just space this out?
Yeah, like it was, I couldn't handle it,
Oh, God, that's rough.
So anyway, I'm not going to take you guys through the rest of the night.
No.
But it got messy. And that was probably the time where I've last felt abused by alcohol.
Joey didn't abuse alcohol. It abused him.
Yeah, got me good.
God, fuck. And now what we're doing, we're having an old fashioned?
No, hey, yeah. So God. Old mates like Prohibition style.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, we'll hit that Prohibition
style.
We've
been there before. Let's go.
All right. You got the next question, bro.
Next question. It's a goodie. If you had to be stuck in an elevator for an afternoon with a dictator, past or present, who would you choose and why?
Oh, dictator. Man, this is my history knowledge going to fail me here.
I mean, I can rattle off.
Who's a charismatic? Yeah, you're pretty good.
Well, look,
who's a charismatic?
Well, I listen to Behind the Bastards. Oh, is that a finger lime in there?
Yeah.
Ooh, delicious.
Classy. Man, cheers to you.
Cheers, bro. Cheers.
Cheers to you guys. Thank you. Thanks for being on the journey. We appreciate all of you. We couldn't do this if it wasn't for you guys, so.
Absolutely could not.
Awesome.
It's a delicious drink.
It's good. It's great.
This is a finger lime, guys. If you haven't seen a finger lime before, it's like got these little sacks of juice. And yeah, it's an amazing little fruit. It's an Aussie.
It's beautiful. It's Australian. Yeah, yeah. High in vitamin C.
It actually like salmon roe.
Like yeah, in it's got that kind of little poppy circles.
I'm actually going to throw that in the gym.
Mm. So it's basically a health drink.
A tonic, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about, so dictators. All right, so look, obvious
Joe's more across.
We got Hitler, we got Mao Zedong, we got Joseph Stalin.
Yep.
We've got, you could say Vladimir Putin.
Putin, of sorts.
You've also got Fidel Castro.
Fidel be pretty interesting.
Right.
How about...
you got fucking Genghis Khan.
Oh, yeah, he's a dictator, but, like, is that... That's ancient era.
Yeah.
We're going to go ancient as well?
I think Pastor Brent can be anywhere.
All right. Yeah, for sure.
I'll hit up first if you want.
Please, lead the way.
Like, I would be fucking fascinated to be in an elevator with any of those people. You know, atrocities and whatnot aside. The mindset. People, these are people that have driven some huge movements.
They've changed society.
Yeah. However, I feel like what I would need to unpack a conversation with someone like Hitler wouldn't be possible in an elevator, because you need to kind of...
Well, maybe let's say it was a dinner. We're having a drink. So let's change the setting slightly. But it's you spending an extended period of time with someone, a couple of hours.
I'm going to say...
And you're going to chat to them.
I'm going to say Fidel.
And they've got no choice. They can't leave.
Okay.
Fidel Castro, yeah.
I'm going to say Fidel Castro. And the reason for that is that I am left biased. You've probably picked that up. However, I'm not like hardcore communist by any means. I'm just maybe a little bit critical of capitalism at times.
Sure.
If communism were the prevailing system that we lived in, I would also be critical of that, to be clear. So you could say, much like my temperament, I'm very much a centrist. In any case, for someone like Fidel Castro, who, and I don't know the history of his dictatorship particularly well. Yes, people died, I'm sure.
Of course.
But it wasn't genocide on a mass scale.
No.
Which is characteristic of Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong. All these other leaders, you saw that they wiped out huge swathes of
Pol
people.
Pot.
Yeah. Pol Pot.
God.
So then that leads me to think, well, this person's driven by an ideology that surely has to be beyond just, I want power. It's some kind
Something
of...
bigger.
Yeah, I have a bigger purpose here. And I'd really love to kind of like get into that, find out like how the fuck do you go from being a teenager who's like every other teenager that's not really sure what they're doing,
yeah,
to being that person that's like, I'm leading this nation and I'm willing to send all of the fucking criminals to America. Scarface, what's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's big
yeah.
moves, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
And from what I understand, you know, there would be people that would speak on both sides of how life is in Cuba. But from what I understand, they did have a relative equilibrium of sorts in the way that country operated for a long time under his rule.
Man, I'm not going to say any dictator is better than the other. I mean, obviously, some have had bigger impacts in terms of just murdering their own people. I think Stalin killed more Russians than any. You know, like he killed more of his own people in the fucking work camps than...
Gulags.
Anyone else, you know, pogroms. Man, look, Hitler was a fucking pussy. I couldn't put up with that guy. One, he was vegetarian. Two, he's fucking weedy and weak as shit. So fuck that guy. And don't worry about, like, you know, apology to our Jewish friends. Like, that was terrible. But just a fucking weak fuck of a person. Plus, he was totally out of his mind on drugs. Weak cunt. I don't know, man. Like, I can't say I admire... I don't like any of them in particular.
Wait, admiration is not...
It's not to say... It's not. It's thing. More out of interest.
It's like you're in an
You're
elevator.
Trying to pick their mouth.
That's right, or at the dinner.
Fuck, it's
I
tough.
Mean, I got to say, man, I would be rapt to have a conversation with Hitler in that moment.
Okay, so if we could go like, okay, so...
No?
No, I wouldn't be rapt.
I absolutely would be.
No, like, he was a pussy. Like, yeah, no, him, I couldn't stand him. I couldn't right. stand him. I'd probably knock him... I'd choke him unconscious. Like, he was such a complaining, whinging... fuck of a person, I couldn't handle him. He's always like, oh, the fucking Jews did it, man. Shut up, fool, take responsibility. You know, there's Idi Amin, there's a bunch of dictators. You could even go like, it's Mussolini, there's a bunch of people who's a bit mental.
chicken oriental, mate.
I don't even really want to. I think
stump JT on this one.
I'm stumped because I don't like dictators, even though I would possibly lead a dictatorship. I'm the authority.
I should have been the leader of that movement.
Yeah, fucking did it all wrong. I've done my most research on the Khans. So good old Genghis Khan. It'd be interesting because, I mean, total psychopath, but also just changed the face and landscape of China, even though it would smell pretty bad if we were stuck in an elevator.
China?
Genius.
Yep.
Like, genius. So a lot of people don't necessarily know this. Also, I was stuck in a... I was in
an elevator one time.
No, I was stuck
Genghis walks in
an airport.
Yeah.
And only thing that was open was this 24...
It wasn't
Steve Aoki. In Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And they cancelled our flight. And so... it was Steve Aoki. Steve Aoki.
I love
just,
how that
he
is.
Blame. Sorry, it just hit me late. Steve Aoki's just blown out.
I'm like,
Genghis, what up, bro? I love your shit, man. No. So I'm stuck in Amsterdam International Airport, and the only thing open is a 24/7 bookshop that also does coffees. And they just cancelled our flight. And they're like, here's some pillows and blankets and just sleep here till the morning. So fuck that. So I got this book on the Khans and the Empire and everything. And here's something insane. They sailed all the way the back end of like the other side of Asia and worked their way through the desert to attack China because the Great Wall blocked them.
Right.
And China's like, oh, we won't put any defenses out there. There's no way 100,000 soldiers is going to make its way through the desert and attack us. That's exactly what they fucking did.
Mad.
Genghis Khan, in terms of like a mind for strategy and all of that, that's the kind of cat I was like, man, I'd love to pick that guy's brain. Did the most remarkable things. Oh, okay. How did you decide, being a man who's never sailed on a boat, that you're going to take your whole army all the way around, navigate the other side of the map, the continent, and then make your way through to China? How did you work that out? Mm-hmm. Think about that. Like, I would say Genghis Khan or maybe Alexander the Great. I don't know if you can call him a dictator, but yeah, maybe. He's a bit neurotic. But yeah.
Alexander the Great, more of a general, wasn't he?
Yeah. People were behind him. He wasn't so much a dictator.
Shout out to our Macedonian friends, Dark Prince.
Who is the better athlete out of you two? 22 of us.
Athlete.
Fuck.
And let us begin by defining an athlete.
Most athletic qualities? I don't know. We haven't had a test recently.
We've never really had. We've only trained jiu-jitsu and done weights. JT is a stronger athlete, that's for sure. You're more flexible in many realms too.
Maybe.
Touch your toe. I can't touch my toes. Can't suck his own dick.
Because obviously that's how winning is done. Yeah.
Get up and suck your own dick, son.
I definitely. Well, okay, I'll prove Joey wrong. I bet you can't. All right.
Yeah.
Find out. I think it depends. Like, I've definitely sacrificed mobility recently to get stronger, but that's kind of strategic. In the same way, I put on a bunch of weight to get stronger because I'm just trying to be as strong as I can. Because I know eventually the testosterone is going to run out, and I'm not going to go the. I'm not going to go the drugs path, so I just got to maximize what I got. I think Joe's done more jiu-jitsu lately. But, I mean, how do you measure an athlete?
No, like, bro. I mean, have you not maintained two sessions a week of jiu-jitsu? You seem to always have at least.
Yeah, I always have 2 a week. I do 2 a week.
Yeah, so that's my max, and then I do a drilling session.
Right.
With some gang.
Okay.
But often, lately, when I've been busy, the drilling session doesn't happen.
I think the challenge is that Joey cares more about health and balance. I care more about winning.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm the more athletic.
What?
And here's...
How the fuck does he say that? He's trying to trigger me, dog. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it cool here. I'm trying to compliment him on being a well-adjusted human.
But they want to fucking answer. And now he's trying to trigger me. I'm going to give you guys an answer.
Fuck off. Yeah. Measure it. Like every lift, I would say I'm stronger.
So what I'm saying
across is, all our standards, the bulletproof standards, I win.
If we had to go,
I got multiple, more standards.
Multiple
I win.
Modalities to test this. So we play a game of touch rugby. We can't play a game of football. We do some.
Take
rock
the skill
climbing.
Out of it. Take the skill out of it.
No, but athletics includes skill. No, it doesn't. Track 400.
No. Athletics is...
We do marathon.
Power, speed, strength, flexibility. These are the athletic traits.
Athletics?
Yeah. No, shot athletic put, traits.
Javelin.
Are we doing pentathlon here?
High jump, long jump.
What are you talking about, bro?
I got to say I'm more well-rounded than
basketball,
that. If we're playing ball sports, bro, I'm going to skin you, cunt.
No, fuck off. I played rep basketball. I'll smoke you.
I'll bet you did in the fucking F grade.
Bro, what are you talking about?
I played with Filipinos.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. This guy doesn't even know. I played state country. Like, I lived out in Dubbo. I played with the Savages. I'll fucking kill you, bro.
Bunch of bumpkins, bro. You guys didn't have a state team. Come on now.
Bro, state country.
Bro, I was in the urban shit in the city.
All right, well, like, it's been out there. What are you talking about? I lived in Penrith. What are you talking about? Mate, look at this guy trying to get me. I was trying to be cool. I can't believe I'm trying to be cool. It's like, if you roll with Joey, don't go light. Shout out Paul Smivett. Go hard.
Guys, I'm just trying to be real with y'all.
No,
I'm just trying to give the truth.
Let's just go. How do we measure athleticism?
You play soccer? You want to play some gridiron? Whatever you want to play.
Yeah, I'm actually exceptionally good at soccer, actually. Right. It's not true. All right. Who looks more athletic?
I think you're going to pick me, for sure.
No, of course not.
Bro, you look like a
Do you know how many people say how jacked I am? I'm the more athletic.
You look like a Teletubby.
Bro. How the hell are you going to say that to me, dude? You can fucking tell Teletubby looks like fucking this. Tinky Winky or Flexy, baby? What are you fucking talking about? This guy's a fucking joke. He's sleeping. This guy has children. He's well adjusted. He's happy with his life. I'm not well adjusted. I'm insecure and I'm a fierce nerd. Who do you think's winning in anything? Make it a competition, I fucking win.
I'll put it there to the people. You decide on the athletic events and we'll do them.
We'll do the test.
We'll run it.
Yeah.
We'll run it and, you know, let science be the winner on the day.
All right, please. Like, you know how we were talking about competition before and like participation awards? Like, Joey had cruised by on charisma and being cool. I have never been cool. I have very low levels of charisma.
But
what I got by on is fucking dudes up, which is undeniable. So, you tell me, who do you want to be in a competition with? Mr. Friendly over here or me? It's
pick your horse, fam. You want those fucking rest rounds or not?
I can't believe you said you. It's the audacity on this one. I was like, science. It's like Bert Kreischer versus fucking Joe Rogan. Like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The machine. I'm the machine.
Bro. Oh, God. Bro,
fuck off.
How many Rogan posters you got on the wall at home?
I don't. I'd fight Rogan. I'd love an MMA fight with Rogan. It'd be great. Shout out, Joe. Thanks for listening. What did you want to be when you grew up? When you were growing up, when you were young? Let's say, like, you're a kid, 12, 13. You know, when they say, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? Thoughts?
The first... I never had a vision or even an idea of what I wanted to be when I grew up.
You didn't enjoy something or you didn't go, oh, that's...
I loved martial arts and shit. Okay. My grandmother and I went out, like, this is like well before I was a teen, I was probably like six or something. My grandmother and I were going to be garbage people together.
Oh, and like garbos?
I wanted to be a garbage man.
Oh, okay.
And she'd drive the truck and I'd go get the things.
Oh, cool, cool.
But that's indicating that... Probably like the three careers I'd seen were whatever my dad did, whatever my mum did, and then the big strong dudes that jumped off the back of that truck once a week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, let's do that.
Yeah. Your grandma's just trying to get you clean up.
Yeah.
We're gonna play garbage truck, Joey. You pick up all the garbage. All right, grandma.
But no, I never had a thing, and I remember being in year 12, final year of school here in Australia.
Yep.
And
senior year.
Yeah, senior year of high school. And kind of deciding, I want to get into commercial real estate. And the reason was because I'd spoken to a friend who worked in real estate who was like, you should get into commercial real estate. And I was like, good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, like I was just looking for an option.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no fucking idea.
Wow. I think when I was pretty young, like 12 before I hit high school, like as a junior, I wanted to be a mad scientist. I didn't go, I'll be a scientist. I was like, I want to be a mad scientist. I'm going to like lose my shit and devise crazy shit. And then at some point I thought, I want to be a politician. And then I realized politicians are so compromised, their ethics are so fucked. It's like, nah, I want to be an athlete. I feel like athletes are more influential. And this is like 98, 99. Athletes in Australia, at least, and definitely in the States, and they had big influence. Like if Leighton Hewitt was a successful tennis player in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was actually world number one at one stage and beat...
Was he number one?
He was world number one and he beat Pete Sampras.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous, right? Yeah. Pete Sampras in the 90s. Come on. I was like, wow. When that guy fucks up, everyone pays attention. When that guy wins, people pay attention. So I was like, wow, maybe I should be an athlete because that is actually more influential than being a politician. Like, no one gives a fuck about what the Prime Minister says. Everyone cares what Kieran Perkins or, like, a great, Kieran like, Perkins. You know, back in the day, right? Like, yeah, right. An Olympian, like Ian Thorpe.
Yeah.
Ian Thorpe says something, people pay attention. Like,
motherfucker's got big feet.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
Australian Olympic swimmer, FYI.
Yeah, he was a great swimmer at the time. Anyway, it's just one of those things that I guess I craved influence. And I was like, how can I, like, get people's attention and do something with it, you know? So I thought like science, and I thought politics, and I thought athlete. And the funny thing was, when my mum said to me, oh, like, what would you do if like you had $1 million? What would you do? And I was like, I don't know, I'd just be in the gym.
Get the fuck out of here, mum.
Yeah. Fucking get a chef.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Move to the city.
Yeah, it was just like, I just thought I'd just go to the gym. And mum's like, maybe you should have a job in the gym. I was like, yeah, maybe I should be a trainer.
Maybe you should stop telling what the fuck to do, mum. Starts calling gyms.
But no, it's funny. When she told me that, I decided I was going to be a trainer and stuff. I just like being in the gym.
Wow. Yeah, shit. Okay. That was like, her insight.
She was like, yeah, well, you should just do some gym shit.
That's cool.
I was like, I will.
So, that's cool.
Anyway, there's that. Next question.
What's a mantra or quote you live by that has helped you through your BJJ career?
Like...
A mantra or quote? I'm going to say straight away, I've never had one.
Right.
For that, I do kind of sometimes use a mantra these days, but I've never had one. But I can give you a sentiment.
Okay.
A thought. Please. Which is somewhere along the lines of, it boils down to don't be a pussy. It's more or less like,
do the hard thing.
Hard things are good for you.
Yes.
There will be something good that comes from this. And obviously you only think about these things when you're in hard times.
Yes.
Yeah, when the times are good and you're smashing every cunt. You know, there's no need for a mantra, right? It's just fucking celebrations and Playboy models
on the best.
All that shit. Deus.
I've got a deus.
Yeah. Catch me at the whorehouse later tonight.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, the mantra thing, I feel like that idea tends to come when you're like, fuck, things are hard, I need something. And for me, it's always been like, don't be a pussy, don't shy away from hard things. This is probably one of the only actual hard things in your life. Maybe business is as well. So these days I balance the two. But yeah, that's been the prevailing sentiment.
Mm. Two things, like, but this hasn't got me through, like, I guess... Burning self-loathing has got me through. No, it's tough because when you lose or...
Joey's out there laughing. He's having a good time.
I see him. I see him like...
He's making jokes about me.
He thinks he's better than me.
He says he doesn't care.
I fucking know.
He's like, that's my fucking mantra, bitch.
I fucking know. it's crazy because like even when I was training, when I was younger, I used to always imagine beating my bullies. Like that was a motivation for me, was the revenge element, which is like pretty negative, right? I read a book recently, is The Gap and the Gain. It says it's much better for you to come from the gain than the gap, which is like the gap is insufficiency and the gain is gratitude and appreciating how far you've come and like coming from a place of enough and feeling good and enjoyment as opposed to fear, anxiety, anger, all this blood bullshit. If we look at art and we look at history, so many good things have come out of other people's suffering, right? It doesn't matter whether you say it's great music or great athletes. Like, these people are not well-adjusted. These people are not necessarily the happiest people. Yet we thrive off what they achieved. Is Michael Jordan a secure person? Fuck no. Even if you look at his entrance into the Hall of Fame, he fucking is calling out some guy who's no one, talking about how that guy motivated him to take on the world.
So just had a call from one of the listener. He said, yeah, what's your mantra, cunt?
This is what I'm going to say. Circling back around. I have tried to be like a little bit more accepting of certain people's behavior, but I'm not really, if we keep it real. Two things. Fuck that guy. That's my mantra. And two is seek adversity. So coming from Stoicism, I'm a big fan of Stoicism. Like, do the hard thing. Doing the hard thing is usually the best thing. Even if it like feels super uncomfortable, it will do a lot more for you than not. Avoiding hard things is really leads to the downfall of anyone in life. So yeah, probably similar to what Joe's saying, but this has only been like probably in the last 2 or 3 years, seek adversity, that I've been able to like catalyze it as a saying. Seek adversity is kind of like my life motto. And yeah, I think that's really the best thing I can like fall back on. So when I'm doing something like really hard and impossible, like trying to get Joey excited for a podcast, I just think, you know, I'm seeking adversity, you know?
You will fail like in this endeavor. Like,
yeah, and that's, but I'm seeking adversity. So that's why we say, you know, tight.
Like brothers.
You know, that's the thing, isn't it? People always ask me, it's like, I want to say like he's like one of my best friends, but really it's like we're related. I can't even like choose it, you know what I mean? Like, I love him, but I want to punch him in the throat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. All right, have we got more questions?
Where are we? I think we wrap it there.
All right.
I think it's a perfect high note to wrap it on.
I know. Look, I am incredibly great. I think that's the thing. For all my dissatisfaction, which is self-engineered, because I always want to do stuff better, I'm incredibly grateful for everyone who is doing the Bulletproof program, everyone who supported us in the past, and everybody who's watching this right now. So thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for putting up my bullshit. Thank you, Jules. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, my partner, Ola. Thank you, everyone who supported the show.
Angel,
shout out. All our dev guys. Being able to do this on a regular basis makes our life great, or makes my life great, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
I second all of that. Yeah, you guys listening and tuning into this thing and staying connected with what we do it's a great privilege from my heart. I appreciate it. I'll see you next time.